Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. Sheep are interesting creatures. In fact, the Bible often speaks of people being like sheep. You know Isaiah 53. It tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. Psalm 100 verse 3 reads, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Well, have you ever studied sheep and studied their behavior and what they're known for? One of my favorite books is called Lessons from a Sheepdog. It's by Philip Keller, and he is an actual shepherd in British Columbia, and he has written several books, all from a shepherd's standpoint of the Bible. He's written another book called Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Very enlightening books, enjoyable and fun to read. But let me describe to you how a shepherd describes his sheep. His very first description. And here's what I want you to think as I describe it. I want you to compare the description that he gives of sheep to people, specifically the spiritual side of people. His first description is sheep are of very limited intelligence. They often follow paths to desolate places. In fact, they've been known to walk right past green pastures in order to feast in desolate fields. They are uncreative about food sources. They're very short-sighted, often leading themselves into peril and death. They've been known to walk along a cliff's edge to the point where they, just to get a little bit of grass, but it's to the point where they cannot turn around and go back, and they're stuck on a cliff's edge. They've even been known to walk into open fires. They're easily frightened, yet at some times unmoved by danger. They're absolutely defenseless. And he adds that by all accounts, they defy evolution. Evolution teaches survival of the fittest, and they're not fit to survive. They are timid, yet stubborn. And they are being prone to being cast down or to be cast. That means when they lie down at night, they lie down and they kind of turn onto their side a little bit. But if they lay down at the edge of a depression, sometimes they will roll down into the depression. So their little legs just kick up in the air and they're not strong enough to right themselves. And so they lay there until a shepherd comes along and helps them, or a wolf comes along and helps himself. And so this is how he describes sheep. But the Bible alludes or compares us to being spiritually like sheep. Let me go through that same description now in a spiritual sense with humans. We are sometimes of very limited spiritual insight. We often spiritually follow paths to desolate places. We are often uncreative about our food or our sustenance. We are spiritually short-sighted, often leading ourselves into peril. We spiritually sometimes may be known as walking right into fire or right into disaster. We are spiritually frightened by the silliest things, yet at the same time unmoved by spiritual dangers. We are spiritually defenseless without our shepherd. We are spiritually timid, often timid about sharing our faith, yet spiritually stubborn about our sin. And spiritually we are prone to being cast down in a depression. It is interesting how rich Scripture is in its imagery in the Bible of portraying sheep and humans as being similar. And we're going to look at that today as we look at the Good Shepherd. But I also want you to understand today, we live in the suburbs of Chicago. What do we know about sheep? Unless you happen to be raised on a farm, and you might know a little bit, but we aren't raised in a shepherding culture. But if you think about Jesus in His day and age, as He speaks the opening parable that we're going to look at in John 10, 1 through 6, He speaks in a shepherding culture to people who probably grew up in fields, to men who used to watch sheep out in the field. And they understood the shepherding illustration that Jesus Christ used. So what we're going to do is I want to read to you the parable that Jesus has given to the Israelites, to the Jews that are listening to him. And then I want to talk a little bit about the shepherding culture, and that will give us a much greater insight as to what Jesus is really saying as he makes two very important claims. So let's read in John 10, verses 1 through 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, transport yourself back. Think about being a shepherd in the days of the Bible. And if you were a shepherd, maybe, let's say you own 100 sheep, and you wake up in the morning, it's just before daylight, and you put on your clothes that you're going to wear out into the field, and next to the door is your staff that you will use, or what we might call a crook that you're going to use to help guide your sheep. And you eat a light breakfast, and you take some food with you, and you go out. And what's going to happen is you're going to find your sheepfold that you use. You as a shepherd probably don't own a sheepfold. You pay a porter to care for your sheep during the night. And so you go to the sheepfold that you hire out, and you've got your 100 sheep inside that sheepfold. And you come to the door of the sheepfold, and the sheepfold would be anywhere from 4 to 6 feet tall, a stone wall surrounded or encircling an area, a circle or an oval, maybe a square. And inside that sheepfold are going to be 3, 4, 5, or 6 herds of sheep. 6 different shepherds will keep their sheep in one fold, and they pay a porter. And the porter will guard the sheep at night. He will often enclose himself in the sheepfold, and he will care for the sheep during the night. He's there to protect the sheep in case any thieves try to scale the wall and steal them, or if maybe a lion comes through the area. It is his job to protect the sheep, to keep them safe, to keep them calm during the night. And you enter, you come to the sheepfold, and you call out to the porter who is inside, and he unlocks the door of the sheepfold. On top of the sheepfold also might be thorns. If the porter has taken great care, he would put thorns or sharp rocks around the top of his fold to keep it safer, kind of like we would use barbed wire for. And you call out to the porter and you tell him who you are, and he hears you. And so he opens the gate or the door. There is only one door for the sheepfold. And he opens the door, and you as the shepherd would stand in the doorway. Let's say you have 100 sheep. You care a lot about your sheep. Your sheep are your life. They are your livelihood. Now, we often think of sheep as meat, but they weren't meat to a shepherd. To a shepherd, they were living sacrifices. The longer he could keep his sheep alive, the more wool they would provide. And it was wool that he wanted, not meat. The only time he would kill his sheep is for a sacrifice or for a special feast. Other than that, he wanted them alive. He wanted their wool. He wanted the living sacrifice that they provided. And so he cared greatly about his sheep. And you would have cared greatly about your sheep. You would have known them each by name. You talk to farmers even nowadays. They name their livestock often. Or if they have a lot, they'll tag their ear with a number. So they keep track of them. Well, a shepherd would name his sheep. I don't know what you'd name them. Wooly, I'm sure Wooly. Whitey, Fluffy. Gnarly Face, I don't know what you would call them. You'd have a name for each one and for their character that they portrayed. Maybe there would be one you would call Wanderer. He was, or she was, prone to wander off often. And you would name them. And you would stand as a shepherd. You would stand at the door, at the gate. You would literally be the doorway when that door was open. Because you only want your sheep to leave the fold. You are only there to lead your sheep out. And so you would start to call to your sheep or to speak to your sheep. And because you care for your sheep, they know you care. And you call out to your sheep and you call Wooly and Whitey and Fluffy and Gnarly Face and you call them by name. And your sheep hear your voice. And because you love them, they love you as well. And so they come to you and you let them out. But only your sheep you let out. You are the doorway. And you let them out. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter who will help you to lead your sheep out into the field, most likely a son. And he'll be out there to help. And you would lead your sheep then out to green pastures. And you would lead them beside the still waters so they could get their daily nourishment that they needed. And you would watch over them. You would protect them. You would keep your eyes out for wolves and for lions or for thieves. And you would watch very vigilantly for them to keep them safe because you cared about them. But as you let your sheep out of the fold, you would not let the other sheep out. In fact, the other sheep wouldn't come to you. Because you weren't their shepherd and they didn't know you. They just heard the voice of a stranger and so they were afraid of you. And so they would hide in the back of the fold or stay at the back of the fold. And you'd let only your 100 sheep out and then the porter would close the gate. And then you'd lead your sheep out for the day. And at the end of the day, you would come back and you would lead your sheep. Sheep are followers. And they would follow you. And maybe during the day as they wander close to a cliff's edge, you would go over with your staff and you would tap them back or you would call wanderer back and you would call them back to you and they would come back and you would count your sheep all through the day to make sure you didn't lose any of them. And you would lead them back to the sheepfold and once again you would call to the porter who had arrived from his rest and he would open the gate and you would stand in the doorway again and you would call your sheep and your sheep would come into the fold for the night. And only your sheep you would let in. You were the door. That's the context of this parable as Jesus makes his first claim. And several weeks ago, Pastor Cook very wonderfully stated there are some people who do not believe that Jesus ever claimed to be God. And he pointed out an instance where he does claim to be God. And I will point out another instance today. He absolutely, all through Scripture, claims that he alone is God. And he's going to do it here. Read with me verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus makes the claim, I am the door. And this is a very clear claim of Godhood. Jesus Christ is not just saying he's a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, but he is the doorway of the sheepfold. And the sheepfold in this instance represents heaven. He is standing in the doorway and everyone who wishes to be saved, who wishes to have eternal life, and as we're going to see in a moment, abundant life, they must pass through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the only way to salvation, and he directly claims it here. I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus Christ alone is that doorway. And he is the shepherd, the great shepherd who stands in the doorway, the entranceway of heaven. And the only way to enter into heaven is to hear the shepherd call to you and to obey his command to come and to pass through him the doorway. That is the only way to be led to green pastures or to eternal life. And Jesus Christ is a shepherd that cares deeply about His sheep. Only the shepherd comes to the door. The thief, they don't come by way of eternal life. They don't provide eternal life. And you know, there's been many false messiahs or many false prophets, many false gods over the years who claim to be the way to eternal life. And none of them are true. It is only through Jesus Christ. Think of Buddha or Muhammad who claimed to lead his people to paradise, or Joseph Smith who claimed to have special insight, eternal insight from God to lead people to heaven, or even more recent, David Koresh, who led many people to hell with himself. Or Benny Hinn, who is leading many people away from God. Many false prophets in this world who are claim supernatural insight or supernatural powers or even sometimes godhood. But none of them provide salvation because Jesus Christ alone is the doorway. And He's the doorway because He's the good shepherd. You know, many people are trying to steal the hearts of men. Even the Pharisees are doing this in this passage or in the passage after this. They're trying to steal away the hearts of the people. And even though Jesus Christ has proven over and over again through the book of John that He is God and that He alone is the Son of God, they are still fighting against Him. They are still trying to steal the hearts of the people. And that's what thieves and robbers do. They don't come to the door. They scale the wall. They try to steal away because they don't have the truth. They are not the truth. But Jesus Christ is the door. And He's stating very clearly that He alone is the way to eternal life. There's only one door to a sheepfold, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But notice He also doesn't provide just eternal life. He tells us He provides it more abundantly. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." You see, Jesus Christ, as the doorway, doesn't just want to release the sheep into eternal life. He wants the sheep to have abundant life as well. He is a good shepherd, as we're going to see in a moment, who leads us to green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He will take us through the dark valley to those green pastures. He wants us to have abundant life as well. And so He is a good shepherd, but He is the one and only door of eternal life. And He is the only way that we can be saved from our sin. You think about that as a shepherd. Sheep, as I said earlier, and as Philip Keller in his book describes, sheep are extremely vulnerable. In fact, he says they defy evolution. Without a shepherd, sheep cannot live in the wild. There's no such thing as a wild sheep. Well, there might be if the place is completely eradicated of predators. But in Bible times, there's no such thing as a wild sheep. They cannot live in the wild. They die. Predators are too fierce for these docile creatures, and so they need a shepherd. They need someone to watch out for them and to protect them. And Jesus Christ is that protection. And He comes alongside us and He leads us with the protection that we need because He is the good shepherd. And so we're going to look at that now, starting in verse 11. He states it very clearly, "I am the good shepherd." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is where I want to spend the most of our time. Don't get worried, though. It won't be too long. But Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Notice it doesn't say a Good Shepherd. This is a very definitive article here he's using. He is the one and only Good Shepherd. And there's four characteristics we're going to see of the Good Shepherd that as we walk through them right now. The Good Shepherd, first of all, gives his life for the sheep. Being a shepherd is a very dangerous job. Being a shepherd, often it was relegated to younger boys, what we would call teenage boys. Boys who hadn't started a family yet, or were just starting a family and trying to make it out on their own. And they would take the sheep out into the field. And we know a great example of this is David in 1 Samuel. He was the youngest son of his father, and he would lead the sheep out into the field, and he would watch over the sheep, and he would care for the sheep. And it was a dangerous job. Two times David's sheep were attacked. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34, 35, and 36 tell us this. Once a bear came and tried to steal away one of the sheep, and David fought the bear. A second time, a lion came to steal the sheep away. And don't think that David was some wimpy pre-adolescent boy. It bothers me when people portray David as being a wimpy farmer. He was not. He was a very manly young man, maybe 14 to 17 years old. How do we know he was manly? The Bible says he took the lion by the beard and slew him. He killed the lion with a knife in his hand, and that was it. It's a dangerous job. Often putting the shepherd in great peril. A shepherd would sacrifice his own life if he had to. He would at least sacrifice his own safety for the sheep. But not a hireling, not the porter, or not some boy that you would hire to go out into the field and watch your sheep, because he's just getting a day's wage. He's not going to give his life for a day's wage. And so the wolf would come, and he would see the wolf, and the hireling would run away. But the shepherd, the true shepherd who owned the sheep, it was his livelihood, his life. And so if a wolf came, he would fight the wolf, putting himself in peril to save the sheep. And Jesus Christ has done that. Why is he a good shepherd? Because a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A good shepherd is willing to sacrifice his safety, maybe even his own life, just for the life of his own sheep. And Jesus Christ certainly did this by dying on the cross. He gave his own life so that we, his sheep, might live. But not just live, but have life more abundantly. So he's a good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. And we're going to hit this again in a moment. Second reason he's a good shepherd is because a good shepherd knows his sheep. And this is the one I want you and I to focus on today. A good shepherd knows his sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They are familiar with the shepherd because the shepherd loves them and cares for them. He calls to them so that they follow him. He names them. You know, any parent or any farmer will tell you, you don't name the animals that you're going to slaughter. It hurts too much when you have to slaughter them. Or they tell their children that. You don't name your farm animals if you're just going to kill them for yourself. And so, the shepherd, he doesn't want to kill them. He wants to raise them for them to be living sacrifices. And so he loves his sheep and he cares for his sheep and he names each one and he knows each one. So that, like Jesus says in the parable, a shepherd is out in his field and he has 100 sheep and one goes missing and he knows which one it is. And he leaves his 99 and he goes to find that one. And when he finds him, he brings him back rejoicing because the sheep was found. That's a good shepherd who cares for a sheep and he knows and he can count and name every sheep so that he knows which one is missing. And he's a good shepherd so he knows which ones are prone to wandering. And he knows the idiosyncrasies of each of his sheep. He knows which ones are prone to sickness and health issues. He knows which ones are dumber than the rest and get themselves into trouble. He knows which ones are ready to stick close to the shepherd. He knows the trouble of each sheep. And he cares for them. And he loves them. How much does he love them? Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. How? Just like as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know what he does? The shepherd compares his intimacy with the sheep to the intimacy of God the Father and God the Son. How well does God the Son know God the Father? Perfectly. So much that he's been obedient to the point of laying down his own life. How much does a good shepherd, the good shepherd, know his sheep? With the same intimacy that he knows the Heavenly Father. I want you to grasp that thought. Jesus Christ, if you are one of his sheep today, Jesus Christ knows you as well as he knows God the Father. And he cares for you like he cares for God the Father. And that is a profound truth. To think that God loves us that much. Understand that God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows when and where you're prone to wandering. He knows your weaknesses spiritually. He knows your health issues. He knows all the little idiosyncrasies that you and I have that make us different. He knows everything about us better than we know ourselves. And that should comfort us. But that should also draw us close to the shepherd. You know, part of being a good shepherd is he sees the sheep wandering and he calls to his sheep and he brings them close to his side. Or when there's danger around, he looks out. He's vigilant for the wolf or for the cliff. And he'll see his sheep close to the cliff and he'll go over and he'll call to the sheep. And if they don't come, he'll take his staff and he'll maybe give them a little love tap on the head, calling them back. Or he'll take his crook around their neck and pull them back close to him. Because being close to the shepherd means we're in a safe place. And I ask you today, do you have that kind of intimacy with the shepherd? Where when Jesus calls to you, you are listening for his voice. We need to be alert to the shepherd's voice, to his call. We need to understand that we must stay close to the shepherd if we want to be safe from the perils and the dangers that are surrounding us. And if we stray, all we need to do is cry out to the shepherd. And because he is a good, loving shepherd, he'll come and he'll bring us back to safety, to his side. Why is Jesus Christ a good shepherd? Because He gives His life for the sheep, but also because He knows His sheep intimately. My question for you is, do you know the shepherd intimately? The third reason that Jesus is a good shepherd is because He lays down His life for His sheep. You might think that's very close to the first one. The first reason He's a good shepherd is because He gives His life. The third reason is because He lays down His life for His sheep. And there's a subtle difference. Four times Jesus says He lays down His life for the sheep. Verses 11, 15, 17, and 18. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Verse 15, As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Four times Jesus says He lays down His life for the sheep. This isn't just giving His life. This isn't a dangerous situation arising and a wolf comes in and the shepherd runs over to fight the wolf off and he ends up giving his life for his sheep. This is more than that. This is a thoughtfulness of substituting oneself for the sheep. And Jesus Christ did that. You know, this is the last time He's entering, or right before He enters Jerusalem for the last time, this story takes place. This chapter takes place. And He's about to, after this chapter, He will return to Jerusalem knowing full well the peril that He's placing Himself in. Because He's about to lay down His life for the sheep. Jesus Christ knows what's going to happen. People have told Him not to go back to Jerusalem because the Jews want to kill Him, and it's very clear they're looking for a chance to trap Him and kill Him. But Jesus goes back to Jerusalem. He's going to have the final Lord's Supper with His disciples in the upper room. And Judas will go out to betray Him, and Jesus will go to the Garden of Gethsemane like He's done so many times before, following the same pattern, knowing He is going to lay down His life. He could have left. He knew He was going to be arrested that night. And then even as He's on the cross, the Bible tells us that it was getting late in the day and they wanted to crucify or finally put to death all three of the people hanging on the cross before nightfall. And so they went around and they broke the legs of the two thieves so that they would suffocate quickly and die. But when they came to Jesus, what did they find? He had already laid down His own life and given up the ghost. Jesus Christ had all the power to save Himself, but He chose to lay His own life down for you and for me. Because that's what a good shepherd does. He doesn't just give His life for the sheep. He lays it down. He laid it down for other sheep as well. Verse 16 tells us, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. This is speaking of Gentiles, me and most of you, Gentile believers. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise the Lord. He didn't just save the Jews. He saved the Gentiles as well. And I praise God for that. And He is a good shepherd who lays down His life for sheep. But He's also a good shepherd because He takes His life again. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd because he didn't just die for the sheep, he rose himself from the dead for his sheep, defeating death. And that's why he's a good shepherd. And we need to understand that all people, like sheep, we have strayed and we have sinned and we have gone away from the shepherd. But Jesus Christ is a good shepherd who calls to the sheep because he loves the sheep and he's got an intimacy with the sheep and he's given his life for the sheep. He's laid it down, but he's also taken his own life again and risen himself from the dead, proving that he alone has power over death. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. We must recognize the fact that we don't just serve a good God. We serve the good shepherd who died for us, who paid the penalty for our sins to buy us back, to redeem us back. And that's why he's a good shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, the good shepherd. And you know what? Jesus makes two very clear claims of Godhood. I am the door, the only way to eternal life. And I am the good shepherd, the only good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep and takes it up again. So now let's look real quickly at the confusion over Jesus. The confusion over his claims. This is the third time Jesus is teaching has divided the people. It happened in chapter 7, verse 43, and it happened in chapter 9, verse 16. They're confused. The people are divided. Some are with him. Some agree with what he said. Some don't agree. And there's this confusion. Who is Jesus? And he brings every one of them to a decision point. Verses 19 through 21. Therefore was a division, therefore among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him? Why are you listening to him? He's insane. He's possessed. He doesn't make sense. But then there's a second group of people in verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And so we have one group who denies Jesus Christ and they deny His power. And they are not His sheep. They don't understand what He's saying and they don't want to understand. And then there's the other group who, although they might not understand everything Jesus says, they acknowledge He must be God because His works that He's doing prove He's God. And as Pastor Doyle pointed out last week, only Jesus Christ, the light of the world, gave sight to the blind. And that's what the Jews refer to here. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And they see the miracles that Jesus did, and they know that He is God. And they hear His claim, and later on they're going to believe. Between verse 21 and verse 22, 2 months go by. Jesus goes out, departs into a desolate place, and he teaches the people. But many of these people follow Jesus. And at the end of the chapter, they believe on Jesus Christ. Because they are brought to a decision point by Jesus Himself. Is Jesus Christ the doorway by which, only door by which men may enter into heaven? Or is he a false prophet possessed by a devil? Is Jesus Christ the good shepherd, the only good shepherd who not only gives his life, but he lays his life down and he rises it again to redeem mankind? And these people are divided. They don't know what to believe. There's confusion. But let there be no confusion here today. Jesus Christ is the door, and He is the good shepherd. He is the Son of God who laid down His life for mankind. Do you believe it? Do you believe that He is the good shepherd who knows and cares in a very intimate way for his sheep. A shepherd who would give his life for his sheep, who did lay down his life and took it up again. Do you believe those things about Jesus Christ? Because you are now at a decision point. And you're going to fall into one or two categories. Either you're going to say, I don't believe it. He was just a man who was possessed with crazy ideas. Or was he that good shepherd, the doorway to eternal life? You decide today. But all of us who are his sheep, and you know you're his sheep, there's been a point in your life where you've called out to God and you've asked Him to redeem you, to save you from your sins. Then He is that good shepherd who cares for His sheep, who brings them close to Himself for safety. He is the good shepherd who leads you out into green pastures. Psalm 23, I'm sure you know it. Almost everyone here probably has it memorized, but let me read it. With this new understanding of what a good shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you need the Good Shepherd today? Question number two. Are you intimate with that Good Shepherd today? Let's pray.